BP, Chevron, Total, ENI of Italy, Sinopec of China, and Statoil all negotiated compromises during the weeks that followed. They accepted new terms as minority owners subordinate to the Chavez regime. Only ConocoPhillips joined ExxonMobil in refusal and departed. The decision marked one of the first tests of Tillerson's willingness to endure economic losses for the sake of policy and principle. The corporation's local government affairs team gathered and drove over to the twin PDVSA towers in Caracas's cluster of downtown skyscrapers. As Carlos Rodriguez took notes, Tim Cutt announced to the Vice Minister of Energy that ExxonMobil would be pulling out of the Cerro Negro project and that it intended to file claims against Venezuela in international courts of arbitration to recover damages. It was an uncomfortable meeting that ended quickly. Cutt and the engineers at Cerro Negro prepared to turn over the pride of ExxonMobil's Latin American operations to Chavez's political cadres in April. It was a painful endeavor, not only because the local executives would be walking away from a complex they regarded as state-of-the-art, but also because scores of ExxonMobil's Venezuelan employees would lose their jobs in a country where unemployment stood at 9%. ExxonMobil's lawyers and accounting analysts prepared for their legal campaign that summer by doing some mind-boggling math. Hobart E. Plunkett, a University of Alabama graduate who served as an asset enhancement manager at the corporation, later explained to a federal court how he calculated the damage Chavez had caused to ExxonMobil. The Cerro Negro project had 28 years to go under the terms of the 1997 contract when Chavez took control. The contract had a clause, 7.3, that laid out the formula under which ExxonMobil's damages should be figured. This was called the threshold cash flow formula. It allowed ExxonMobil to estimate how much money it would have made in Venezuela after operating expenses, royalties, and taxes, if it had not been forced to relinquish ownership. Plunkett arrived at a round number, somewhat more than $11.9 billion. ExxonMobil did not immediately share its thinking about its damage claim with Chavez or his aides. Cutt and his Caracas colleagues concentrated on winding down operations as smoothly as possible. When they visited Orinoco after handling control to PDVSA, they saw the scores of new employees sitting around in blue jeans without apparent responsibilities, and they saw that political propaganda had replaced their ubiquitous safety notices on some of the walls. But they kept their opinions to themselves. In public, on Wall Street and elsewhere, Rex Tillerson described the breakup dispassionately. "Our situation in Venezuela is a pure and simple contract. The contract was disregarded." Cutt gathered the local staff at the movie complex near the Caracas office for a sort of farewell party. ExxonMobil Idol, a talent show inspired by American Idol. The corporation's senior managers, with Cutt fronting, took the stage in hats, dark glasses, and chains, with their underwear hanging out of their pants, to perform a gangsta rap number. They chanted inside jokes into their microphones, to the roar of laughter and applause from the remaining staff. The show's theme accurately reflected ExxonMobil's mood about Hugo Chavez. The corporation's executives would not think to call the plan they had in mind revenge. They forswore emotion about business and legal decisions. When their plan was revealed for the first time in a New York federal courtroom a few months later, ExxonMobil's lawyers insisted that they had done nothing untoward or vengeful. It was a contract matter, they said, pure and simple. The banking and legal system, known as the cash waterfall, was designed to control the flow of money generated by the sale of Cerro Negro crude oil. ExxonMobil and PDVSA issued $600 million worth of bonds to international investors to finance construction of the massive upgrader complex in the Orinoco Basin. Given the long record of political instability in Venezuela, nobody was likely to buy these bonds, at least not at an affordable interest rate, unless there were guarantees about repayment. The lawyers and investment bankers who organized the bond sale therefore constructed the Common Security Agreement to protect bond purchasers. This agreement established the cash waterfall, as it was termed by the participants, at the Bank of New York, headquartered in Manhattan. The waterfall was a web of restricted bank accounts through which revenue from the sale of Cerro Negro oil flowed in a prescribed manner. Receipts from oil sales went first to pay for the operations of the Orinoco project, and second to pay interest to bondholders. Only then did leftover funds cascade into accounts for each of the main project partners, ExxonMobil and PDVSA. The Bank of New York's role was to ensure that all of these legal obligations were met before either ExxonMobil or PDVSA took out the money that reached the bottom of the cash waterfall. The agreement included collateral and other guarantees to assure bondholders that the Bank of New York could enforce the system's rules. The cash waterfall had flowed smoothly for almost a decade. Oil came out of the ground in the Orinoco Basin. The upgrader lightened the oil and removed its contaminants. The oil flowed through pipelines to ships at a Caribbean port, and the ships delivered regular loads to Chalmette, Louisiana, for final refining into commercial products. When Chalmette confirmed receipt of a particular shipment, it released its payment to the Bank of New York, which in turn sent the money flowing down the waterfall accounts. The bank routed some cash back to Cerro Negro to cover operating expenses. It set some money aside to make monthly interest payments to the bondholders, and then it released the remainder, many tens of millions of dollars annually, to ExxonMobil and PDVSA. There were still $538 million worth of bonds outstanding under the cash waterfall agreement in the spring of 2007, when Hugo Chavez abrogated the Orinoco oil agreements. Some of the bonds were due in 2009, others in 2020, and still others in 2028. The bondholders, investment banks, pension funds, mutual funds, hedge funds, became nervous when ExxonMobil signaled publicly that it might pull out of Venezuela. If the corporation no longer operated Cerro Negro, the cash waterfall system might not work so well, and at a minimum, the prices of project bonds would fall because of investor anxiety about the future. On April 27, 2007, Cerro Negro bondholders declared that because of the prospective actions of Hugo Chavez's government, Venezuela and ExxonMobil had legally defaulted on their joint obligations as issuers of the bonds. Under the cash waterfall system, the bondholders had the right to seize collateral if this default declaration was confirmed.